Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for coming today. The genesis of today's event goes back to a conversation that I had with Stuart Pearson, who runs Capital's infrastructure practice. We were doing some work around the metro, and another colleague intervened, and it was very clear that they really didn't understand much about what was going on. And the conversation went into, well, that metro idea is fine, but will it ever really happen? And I said, well, didn't you know it had been procured? And didn't you know the funding was in place? No, I didn't know that. Quite a bright, intelligent person. So I went to do a straw poll. I did a straw poll within our office, and then I did a straw poll by phoning some friends and some clients, some of whom would be in the room. And what I found out was most people didn't really understand what was going to happen with the metro. Who knows why? But what we had was a varying range of understanding from it will happen to I don't think it will happen to it could happen if we raise the money to I don't know what it really involves. I did what one always does when something involves the metro. So I phoned Mark Barry, Mr. Metro, and said, there might be an issue here and an opportunity as well. So we brought together a small group of friends, Chris Sutton from Jones Lang LaSalle, Roddy Bainham from Arup, Geraint Talvin Davis, and had a discussion about how we could deal with this problem. And it turned out that Mark had already started a process to collect a series of essays which have now been published collectively in one manual, which you will all have had access to, which is a terrific body of work. And we felt there was an opportunity to coincide the publication of that with this conference. So thank you to them for helping to conceive of this and to identify that there was a need in our community to better understand what the metro is and better understand the opportunity. And we've structured the day in that way. This morning is principally about education. James and Colin are going to explain to us what is planned, and then we're going to have a discussion about what's planned might mean for the valleys. So the morning is about education, if you want to put it that way, what's coming. And this afternoon is more about looking forward. What might the scale of the opportunity be? What's the bigger picture here? What else could we do? And Geraint Talvin Davis is going to chair and lead this afternoon's event. Without wishing to be cheesy or sycophantic, I did think that it would be remiss of us not to have this conference without actually us recognising what I think is the quite extraordinary contribution that Mark has made to the bringing of the metro to South East Wales. It was Mark's paper in 2011 that really pulled the debate together and put it out there that this was something that could become not only a reality for us but also transformational. Had a little speech which was designed to culminate in a burst of applause. We've done the burst of applause, so I'll can the speech. But thank you. Yeah. In some ways, you could say, well, it's 7 years from then to now. In some ways, you could say it's only 7 years from then till now. Often these projects take decades to get to fruition, and we're close to fruition. I would also... one of the decisions that we made when we decided to host this event was that we wanted it to be a free event. We wanted it to be democratic. We wanted everybody to come. We didn't want there to be people who couldn't come for financial reasons. And we also didn't want to sell the event, as it were. We didn't want it to be sponsored by one big lead organisation. So what we did was we reached out to a lot of organisations who have paid for, they're called sponsors, but actually the top and bottom is they paid for today's event to happen. And in no particular order, because the contributions to make this free have ranged from £250 to £2,500. But can I thank Cardiff University School of Geography and Planning, the IWA, who, by the way, were involved very early on in the planning of this. I omitted to mention that earlier. Transport for Wales, Acon, Cogitamus, Freshwater, Arup, Jones Lang LaSalle, Mark Barry himself, the Cardiff Capital Region, Furren Frey, Icomira, Mott MacDonald, the Urbanists, and last but not least, Capital Law. So without without more ado, what I'd like to do is get the substantive event underway. And I'm going to introduce James Price, who's the CEO of Transport for Wales, who's squatting behind me, unnervingly close. Thanks, mate. Thanks. Cheers. And Colin Lees, the Customer Experience Director for Transport for Wales Rail Services. Also on the platform, we have Mark, and we also have Aaron Gill, who's an associate with ARIP, who's going to chair a discussion between the four of them once the formal presentation is finished. Thank you.
Okay, so thanks, Chris. Colin and I are now going to do a double hander on this presentation, and the intention is that we take you through why Metro, what Metro is, what this iteration of the Metro is, and then some of the challenges and how you can help with that. Unfortunately, we both thought we had 40 minutes. We just discovered we've got half that time, so we're going to have a go at doing this very quickly. And I'm assuming I just pressed the down arrow to get the next slide. Is that right? Good. So, or is this meant to be a... Shall we can the video, or...? There we are. Why is Metro important? There was going to be a very nice video there, but given that's 5 minutes, we'll... you can watch it later, maybe. So, why Metro? And I think the most important thing in terms of Metro is to realise that whilst lots of people could view it as a transport project, and I guess for lots of people working on it, it is a transport project, that's not the point of it. So if we think about South East Wales contains areas that are both very high economic growth and very low economic growth. That's true within Cardiff itself, but what we're looking at here is on a much more aggregate level. So you've got parts of the valleys, very low economic growth, parts of Cardiff, very high economic growth. And all of the evidence says that agglomeration, that is people being able to move around easily, interact with each other, talk to each other, innovate with each other, is what drives economic growth. Now, if people could do that in South East Wales, within a kind of 30, 40 mile radius of Cardiff, you've got well over 1.5 million people. Think about London, think about Birmingham, think about how easy it is to move around those areas and how they operate as regions. Think about the same thing all around the world. And all the evidence says agglomeration drives economic growth and innovation. But for some reason, in South East Wales, our transport network does not allow for that agglomeration. So that is a key point that we're trying to drive here, is economic growth right across the region. A couple of kind of slides here for provocation, really. So the first one is investment in Metro Central, a really good thing. For those of you who don't know, Metro Central is the development around Central Station in Cardiff. So these are Cardiff County Council's figures. Even if they're exaggerated marginally, they are massive figures. So £1 billion worth of GVA, 30,000 additional jobs. But where is the investment in Valley Central? So another kind of massive opportunity that I don't think as a region we have yet completely grabbed hold of. And I think for me, this is one of the challenges of the day. So I've just picked a place at random, Pontypridd, 12 trains an hour, 22 minutes to the centre of Cardiff from 2023. If you were to look at Cattays Park or Llandaff, that would be 10 minutes or well under 10 minutes, 12 trains an hour. That's like a central London underground train. What are we going to do in the valleys to make that a reality in terms of agglomeration and people moving around? How can we realise that? Population in Cardiff is expected to grow faster than any core city over the next 20 years. And just look on the right-hand column, 2043, the passenger demand growth for commuting into Cardiff. But it needs to be a two-way transport system. This isn't all about bringing people into Cardiff. This is about allowing people to move from Cardiff up into the valleys, across different valleys. This should be about allowing communities to find their proper economic worth and to trade really effectively and for people to move effectively around those. Everything we're doing is aligned with the Future Generations Act. Clearly, sustainable economic development is just that, and that is what the Metro is designed to to develop, but we're also looking at significant improvements in terms of carbon, in terms of energy usage, 100% zero carbon energy, over half of it coming from Wales. What else is worth picking out on here? Park and ride. So in a minute, we'll talk about this being multimodal, not just about train, but it's about how do you link from different modes. And park and ride is really important. But again, just as a bit of a provocation from me, and I've failed this test myself in the past. So pick a road, any road, A470. Now I'm going to make up a number, but it'll be about right. So there will be about 70,000 vehicle movements on the A470 every day. If we were to open a park and ride with 200 or 300 spaces, that would look quite big, and we would talk about significant modal shift. Do the sums. That's not even touching what we need to touch. So we need to be thinking far bigger than we are currently. Just a teeny bit on Transport for Wales, because people probably don't know what that is either. So Transport for Wales is a subsidiary company owned by the Welsh Government. But I'll just take you through our purpose, and through that purpose statement, you will almost entirely get what we're for. So the first is to keep Wales moving. The reason we've said that is we want metrics around everything that we do. So this is all about being really clear that we are monitoring ourselves in keeping Wales moving. That will be really important for rail, but I would say it's going to be more important for other modes that in the past have not really monitored themselves effectively. Lane availability, for example. Customer focused, that's really important. We've got to be customer focused in everything we do. This isn't about building a railway so weird people who like to stroke trains can get excited about a railway. And sorry if I've just offended half the people in the room. This is about being customer focused because people need to get from A to B in the most effective and efficient way. We provide expert advice and then infrastructure investment. What we don't do is take policy decisions, and this is really important for today as well. So we'll provide different options for Welsh Government, we'll provide different options for the city region, but it is for elected members then to take decisions on which of those options should be delivered. We then deliver those options. Two extra things, if they haven't come through. Land use planning. Land use planning, I think, is of vital importance in terms of what we do. We could be creating a South East Wales that for the future will be vastly different from the one of the past and vastly, vastly better place to live and a vastly better place to do business. But we need to work together on that. And the other one is we're talking about Metro in South East Wales today, but clearly Transport for Wales is a pan-Wales organisation. This table's a weird one to have it up today, but there's a reason why I've got it here. So that was a table we used at the beginning of the procurement process, and we hit every single date. And that is just to say that that is our intention for the future. We're here to be real, and we intend to deliver and make a difference. So, Colin.
Thanks, James. So, one of the key messages I really want to get across today is Metro is happening. We have signed, we're about to start in a week's time, and thanks Mark for the timing of this event because of that. And 2023 is not that far away. We are about to order trains, we're about 2 weeks away from that. We have, we're about to start demolition at Taftswell for the building of the depot. Things are happening, this is happening, and it's super important that we all now get together behind this and make the best of it, because it is a phenomenal opportunity for our area. So what is Metro? Metro is about providing reliable, frequent, quality and affordable services that connects people together. And it's super important that all of those come together. So this is as much about ticketing and joining forms of transport together, bus and cycling and walking, as well as it is about a rail service and making it better and fit for the 21st century. It's also about a core network which allows the ability to extend beyond it into new areas and on street. And I suppose the core element of the Metro is a minimum of 4 trains per hour or services per hour if it's a bus area to all parts of the region. So we're taking a multimodal approach, facilitating that ticketing, that information, that way of putting timetables together so that transport works more seamlessly, that way of trying to, where there's disruption, allow the bus to wait for the train and all those kind of things. And some of those challenges are really hard in a deregulated bus environment. Some of those are going to need new thinking, but we're absolutely up for that challenge. So just quickly, and we're short on time, so I'll canter through this, but there's some important things in here which I think we should all bear in mind as we think about how we make the best of this incredible project. The next phase, phase two as we like to call it, of Metro, really concentrates on the valley lines, but it is the next phase. It's the critical phase because it sets up the system for the future in terms of the depot, in terms of the tram train technology we're bringing in. But it allows future extendability to areas like Ebbervale and Maesteg, which are not forgotten, and they will absolutely be part of the next section. But one critical thing from our bid, and I led the Keir Lusamy bid, is this idea of the central metro. So we are not cutting off the core elements of the valleys from the rest of the South Wales Metro for now. So there will be opportunities from the Rumney line to still travel across Cardiff, something which people thought would not be possible with a system which was separated from the Network Rail national network. So you'll be able to travel through to Penarth and Barry, and there's some slides and maps about that later. I think I've probably covered that, so And these slides will be available to people after the event, so there's a little bit more detail in there about some of the fares initiatives we've got to reduce fares at the heads of the valleys to make them fairer, to bring in better options for children as well. But one of the key things I'd really like to point out is level boarding, and this is actually around the entire South Wales Metro from the point that we bring in the new trains. And hopefully you can see in the image there. And this is not just about new trains and upgrading shelters and stations, which is super important, but this is about how they work together. So we are buying trains which have a level access, both in terms of no step, but also hardly any gap between the platform and the train. Now that's really important for wheelchairs, but it's actually really important for lots of people that we might not even imagine. So it's important for people with luggage. It's important for people who may travel with a stick or with a bike, or want to go on and do active travel beyond the journey on the metro. And that's what makes this so important. And where buses have done this, they've seen huge growth. And we believe that where trains do this, we'll absolutely see similar levels of growth, which will be great for everyone in the area. We've talked about integrated transport and new trains. We're also doing things with connectivity. So we're going to build 47 new 4G masts. This is a rail operator and Transport for Wales, a government company, investing in telecommunications. Not something you'd necessarily put high on the agenda, but actually connectivity on the train is super important. And mobile phone networks only basically want to invest where people live or where people work. Where they're travelling, they don't have much interest. So we're going to take that interest and we're going to invest and we're going to close those knot spots. And that covers the whole of Wales. It will take time. These are hard things to do. We're building masts in rural areas without power and those kind of things. But we have an agreement with BTEE to do that, and we'll be rolling that out over the years to come. We'll also be building new stations. So places like Cruce Road, which is completely changed in its kind of the people who live there and the way it's used. And there is no station. So we will build one at Cruce Road, and we will even look at additional stations beyond that. We've also got Gabalfa we've committed to build, moving Cardiff Bay closer to the Wales Millennium Centre, as you can see in the image, and building an extra station at Loudon Square, another area of a decent population, by the way, but doesn't have a close station. And one further example there, as I canter through this, is Treforest Estate. So if you've been to Treforest Estate Station, you'll wonder, what is the purpose of Treforest Estate Station? It's in the middle of nowhere. It serves no one. It is very poor quality indeed. So we are going to move that much, much closer to Nantgaroo. We're going to put in a bridge over the Taff. We're going to put in a small car park. And we're going to link it closer, probably with some autonomous vehicles as well, into things like Coleg y Cymoedd, which is obviously a key area for skills development in the valleys. And some of the things that allow us to do this are super important when we think about what the next phases are and how we're going to extend this project. So I just want to spend a little bit of time with some technical stuff. Apologies, but I'll try and keep it pretty simple. So firstly, one thing I want to mention is smart electrification. One of the things that's caused the Great Western electrification project so much heartache and difficulty and delays and overspend has been the sheer number of bridges that have had to be rebuilt, basically for the clearance of the overhead wire. Our system for the valleys has batteries on board the trains and the tram trains, which means we don't need to fiddle with all those bridges. Now, that's 55 bridges. That's a huge number, which do not need to be demolished and rebuilt or at least completely lowered or increased in height. That is massive disruption saved, but it's also huge cost saved that we can then spend on improvements in stations and those kinds of things. And the second element is tram trains. So we are buying 36 tram trains. The order is near enough ready to place. We've got a few final little bits and pieces to sort out, but it will be sorted in the next couple of weeks. And those will be ordered. They'll be starting being built literally from a month's time. They will have the batteries on board that I mentioned, but they will also be capable of line-of-sight tramway-style operations. So that section which I mentioned down to Cardiff Bay will run on street. It will be grass track, effectively, down to the bay, and it will be running as if it were a tram. It will be the first place that we'll have done that, and it can then be extendable all over to other areas of the network. And the opportunity is there to link into places like Cardiff Central back from the bay via Callaghan Square, which is probably likely to be the next area we would do it, and other places, the Brain site, etc., Penarth, all kinds of places, is super impressive and exciting. And on the Rumney line, we have a tri-mode solution. So again, we have the batteries, but we also have a diesel engine so that south of Cardiff, we can continue and not cut services. So Penarth and Barry and round to Bridgend will still have the same quality of brand new trains. And the difference it will make to people in terms of frequency is absolutely phenomenal. So if we just take somewhere like Pontypridd, an extra 6 trains per hour in the future, which is a step change. And so if I just take you through a couple of examples there, if we take somewhere like Aberdare to Queen Street, currently there are 2 trains an hour, that doubles to 4. The journey time reduces by around 14 minutes. And the peak capacity increases by 36%. And that's the lowest. You know, there are some there which are increasing by over 100%. So this is a fundamentally upgraded transport system. And this is happening. This is ordered. This is agreed. The money is in place. We are building it. This is happening. So not talking about this anymore. This is actually happening. And I really want to get that across to you today. And then there are other key projects in the area that we need to link into. So Metro Central, which James mentioned earlier, we've put in £15 million towards that. There is a great opportunity there in the very centre of Cardiff to link together cycling, buses, of course, and other forms of transport together. And we're not finished there. This project creates 600 new jobs, 450 apprenticeships, and that doesn't include the construction. If you add in the construction, you're over 2,000 jobs. It's absolutely phenomenal. And although this conference is mostly about Metro, this is Pan Wales. So there are new trains, or will replace trains everywhere, and 95% of journeys all over Wales and borders will be on brand new trains, 50% of them assembled in Wales. A couple of final ones for me. So let's not forget stations in here. We've put 194 million. That is an unprecedented amount of money. I can't think of another franchise anywhere in the UK that's ever spent, in comparison to the size of the franchise, that amount of money on stations, including upgrading shelters, better security, CCTV, the park and ride, which James mentioned, which we've got 1,500. We actually have ideas for 2,000 and hope we can afford those. New ticket machines, free Wi-Fi everywhere. Absolute step change and a completely different style of transport coming in 2023-2024.
I'll skim over this one, but I thought I'd just put a placer because we're also working on North East Wales Metro, which is a similar vision, but North East Wales Metro is where South East Wales Metro was 7 years ago, probably, so there's a lot more work to do there. But the challenges, that's what I really wanted to finish with, which is a strange place to live. Challenges would be a strange place to live, and that's the place I feel like I'm living right now. But what are the opportunities on the back of those challenges? The first one, I just think people need to be aware of what they're doing. So we've glossed over quite a lot here. So engineering. We are, by the middle of next year, certainly by autumn of next year, we should have taken over about 12% of Network Rail's asset in Wales, but that 12% already takes well over 50% of the rail traffic in Wales. And then we intend to, with the live railway running on it, deliver the first upgrade and electrification that has run to time and to budget in the UK. Now, we haven't got any more money than we've started out with, and we've designed the contracts in such a way that they cannot overrun. It's the first time it's ever been done, but that is no mean feat. So the £738 million is there to transform that core network. I think we'll do it. I'm genuinely confident in that, but let's not forget that challenge. The second one, which is, I think, where we can really engage with people in this room, is planning. In order to get the most out of metro development, we've got to be cohesive. So all the local authorities involved, as they are, really need to work together. Businesses need to work together. Transport for Wales needs to work together. And I think we need to work beyond each other's red lines. Now, what do I mean by that? The Design Commission, I don't know whether there's anyone, Design Commission for Wales, came in the other day, spoke to me. Hello, hello, there we are. It was you. You said we need to go beyond your red lines, kind of metaphorically pointing at me. And the point being, and let's pick a station lots of people in the room will be aware of to provide a silly example, but a real one. Cattays Park Station. So Cattays Park Station, you come out of the station and you walk onto a horrible bridge which has got graffiti all over it, and you walk down to where they hand out the metro, which is someone's slung an old mattress out there most mornings, seems to be, from what I can see. And everyone says, that's not the metro area because that's beyond our red line. Now, that's a small, silly example. Think about that in the valleys and say, well, the red line should be pushed 2 miles out beyond the station and say, how can we make these things really work? And I think you in the room are really important as part of that. And then communication. So clear, cohesive messages together with expectation management. So whilst I was saying, just think about what we've got to do, and that transformation will only take 2 or 3 years, but there's many people in the room, including some staff we're about to inherit, apparently, who have told people that on the 15th everything's changing and there's twice as many trains appearing. Which, if you think about it, is just nonsense, and it could never happen. It takes 3 years to build a train. But many of the public have got that in their mind. When they turn around and say, well, this metro's a load of rubbish, isn't it? We need a community who's going to say, well, no, it's not, because we're on a journey and we need to keep going on that journey until we achieve where we need to get to. Engagement with people is going to be really important to encourage people to use the services and to get really good feedback. So one of the things I've started saying, doesn't make it true, of course, but I talked to a group of Arriva managers on this, is customer satisfaction is really important. So a guy called Rob Brighouse, who used to run Chiltern Trains, told me that he had some of the best customer satisfaction when he was running trains out of any of the train companies. He was getting 1.9 out of 5 Facebook stars, apparently. He's now running a coach company where he's achieving 4.9 out of Facebook stars. So can we achieve 4.9 on ours? Are people going to be that happy using the metro service? That's what I want, and that's what we should aspire to be. So overcoming these challenges is going to be really important. Transport for Wales corporate, if you like, and Transport for Wales rail services are going to work very closely together as one cohesive team. We've decided to share the same branding, to structure ourselves as one team. In many places, people will share the same line manager regardless of who they work for. So that's because we want to maximise people's time, and we want to create teams where people who are the best for a job are the people who are deployed to that job. So we're doing that. What I'd like to encourage everyone in the room is to join us on that one team approach. So I think I'll leave it there. Massive challenge, even bigger opportunity than the challenge, and we want to work with you to deliver that. Thank you.
Thank you. James and Colin for that. I think that we now are beginning to get to the what is Metro. We have some facts, and my hope as chair of this opening session is that everyone in the room will feel at the end of this session that you know what Metro is, you know what it will be, and that you can go out there and talk about it and explain it to people who are not clear, because I think both of you have commented on the fact that there are people who aren't sure whether it's happening, or you know, if it's happening, what does it mean, how quickly will it happen. So we need everyone here to be part of that communications process and that championing process of Metro. Before we start, I just thought I'd ask all of you in the room, how did you get here today? How did you get to the city center? Could you, it's entirely unscientific, but could you raise your hands if you arrived into Cardiff city center by train this morning?
That's right.
Okay. Who arrived by car? Okay, so we've got.
I did try. It's a march in the show. There was no trains from Abergavenny, which is why.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got trains already a big mode. You know, rail is already a significant mode, but the private car is also very dominant. Who arrived by bicycle, whether it's their bike or next bike? Who arrived by bus? Okay, not a bad number by bus either. And anyone walk? Right. Great. Okay, so we're a multimodal audience.
It's fixed.
And what would be really interesting is 5, 10, 15 years from now, it would be fantastic to be able to compare. We won't be able to, but certainly you'll be measuring modal shift, I'm sure. So, what is Metro? And we're going to open it up to the audience to ask questions so that you can ask and you can be sure that you know what Metro is. But I'd just like to begin by asking all three of you, perhaps I should start with Colin, I think. What will be the first changes or the first change that people will see? What will they notice as Metro?
Okay, so there are a bunch of changes which are coming in this year. Things like uniforms, branding of trains, better ticket machines, cleanliness, things like that, which will start to happen. But you know, it's very important, and you hopefully saw on the second slide James put up, that we communicate this as a journey. So actually the first Metro branding will only come with the new trains, is the current plan. So we will upgrade line by line broadly, and the idea that we've certainly put in the bid is that once the majority of the disruption is out of the way on that line, we will then roll out the Metro concept to that line. So you'll start to see it kind of line by line come in, culminating in 2023 with a massive timetable change that brings it all together, and then in 2024 with the extension down to the new station at the Bay, bringing the on-street running to Cardiff for the first time in 60 years. So a big amount of changes over a long time, but the early changes are quite modest because we're taking the same trains, the same staff, the same systems, processes, etc. in a week. So a lot of that will be broadly the same.
Mark, what do you think the average passenger or the daily passenger on the current network will notice as the first change?
I would hope that given the current experience, it's a depreciated asset with issues of unreliability and a perception issue, given that the rolling stock, you know, goes back 20, 30 years or more on a piece of infrastructure that's not had any significant investment since I don't know when. There should be a profound change in experience for the passenger once it's up and running. But I'd echo the point there. The expectation management is important. This is not going to happen next week. This is a change over the next 5 years. And can I just add also, given the backslapping that's going on, James has just overseen via Welsh Government Transport for Wales the biggest procurement in Welsh Government history and the most complicated procurement in rail industry history successfully, which I think is quite a remarkable achievement. So I don't like kicking all the pats on the back when others also deserve credit. But going back to the passenger, it is going to change how people relate to public transport, I hope, and begin to change how we think about the region and what we can do and where our options are in terms of where we can work and where we can live. That's my hope.
James, what do you think will be the first change that people see, feel?
I've kind of got to agree with everyone else now, haven't I? So people are already noticing the new branding, aren't they?
Yeah.
Clearly. I travel on the trains every day, and you notice that as you come in. The problem with that, I think, is that people then will expect something to change overnight.
Yeah.
And stuff will begin to change. So the thing I really hope that people start to notice, but this is bound to take quite a while, is just a different approach to customer service and a higher level of pride in the system that we've got. But we're taking the same workforce who's been working for Arriva for 15 years. The time we've had to talk to them has been incredibly limited, literally a couple of hours probably for most people, or actually for most people even less than that, a couple of hours for management. Mm-hmm. Right. For people who are actually interacting with staff, probably a few minutes is the reality of it. So even that is going to take a while. But what's really interesting is in dealing with the main rail unions, it would appear that staff are really keen to get involved in running a service that they can be proud of and people can be proud to use. So I'll give you a small example, and this is not to defend myself, but the press coverage the other day when I said Arriva Trains was like a 1980s Ford Escort. I actually said 400,000 miles, not 300,000 miles. They wiped 100,000 miles off the off the engine's use. So the managers in Arriva were really not very happy about that. The staff, in terms of the unions, were very happy because they were saying, well, we've got to work with all that. We've got to work with this stuff every day. And we're no happier than anyone who's using it. So I think there's a massive opportunity to enthuse staff with customer service, which is what's going to make it a very different service to use. And there's some other stuff, Colin, coming in early next year. So delayed repay, I think, will be a big thing. So it'll be easier for people to get money back if the service is delayed. And some better apps in terms of buying tickets, etc. So I think things are changing, just quite slowly.
Okay. Does anyone have a question? I'll let the mic come to you.
Hi, is that working? Yeah. My name's Alice MacDonald. I'm extremely delighted to see private sector, public sector, and the education sector all together on a stage. I think that's where the greatest innovation occurs when they work together. But what I'd be really interested to understand is how, over the course of the next 4 or 5 years and longer, such a difficult delivery is going to be achieved. But how is innovation going to be embedded in that process as we move through the development of the metro?
Okay, do you want me to start?
Yeah.
And then others to join in? So innovation, I think, is of vital importance to us. And at the minute, we're at concept design stage, so it's still a high-level design in terms of how we'll do all the track works. And nearly everyone who's involved is talking about how can we use new things. But I think where we want to be is not necessarily at the cutting edge. We want to be 20% behind the cutting edge around the world. So if you go around the world and you look at what people are doing, there's some incredibly interesting and effective things being delivered. Lots of it is going massively wrong.
Yep.
and costing, you know, hundreds of millions, if not billions, when it goes wrong. But we don't need to be there. We need to be, I think, and this may not sound that ambitious, but I think we need to harvest the best in the world, make sure what works, and then just be just behind the best in the world and deliver it right time, first time. So some examples where we could explore is the intersection of the highway and track. So if you look in, I think it's the Netherlands, they've been using composite road bridges quite effectively that can be dropped in very quickly without even closing the railway. If you compare the same thing in the UK at the minute, we would be closing the railway for at least a week, maybe longer, having heavy equipment being brought in, and the cost magnitude would be 1 to 10. But in order to do those things, we all need people from different modes to work together for the greater good. Not so that the railway looks to max out its investment at the expense of the road, and then the road looks to max out its expense, its investment at the expense of the railway. So there's loads of stuff that we need to do, and we got our first kind of innovation session with Amy set up shortly to start thinking some of those things through. Sorry, Colin.
Yeah, I mean, I think innovation is super important, and there are some ideas which unfortunately are not yet announced, which I can't talk to, but you will soon hopefully see over the next month or so will be announced by Welsh Government, which we're very excited about, and we hope some of you in the room will want to be involved in as well. So I'll leave it at that, but you'll probably realise what I'm saying in a couple of months' time. But what I do think is important about innovation is that innovation is a focus on outcomes. Mm. It's not innovation for innovation's sake. It's not innovating because it's fun or it's sexy or it's going to get in the news or whatever. It's that it actually improves the life of customers, or it reduces cost, or it's more efficient, or whatever. So we're not going to innovate just because it's fun. We're going to innovate for real reasons.
Can I just add a dose of realism as well? Because I mean, I was involved in product development in a previous life. Innovation, it gets thrown around like skills and, you know, and quality, these words, and we all need skills and quality, and we need innovation. But innovation comes with risk and potential exposure to unforeseen cost and unforeseen engineering challenges. And when you've got the responsibility to operate a railway and run trains reliably every day on time to carry those people to do what they depend on to do, you've got very careful how you introduce innovation. And so there's an enormous challenge and a balance to be had between delivering efficiencies and better service as a result of innovation, but also not compromising what your core requirement is. So I hear all sorts of, we could be doing this with hydrogen, we could be doing this with that. You know, yes, we could. But we don't want to be first. We don't want to take all the industry's costs and take all the industry's risks. We want to bring in what we know will work and we're confident can deliver a reliable service, at the same time as allowing the room for that kind of innovation that can improve service and improve our cost profile, not at the risk of not delivering a service. And that balance is really important to keep an eye on.
Could we have two more questions, please? Could we have a question there? And the woman at the back? Yeah. We'll take them two and then answer both of them.
Thank you.
Okay. Yes, please do.
My name is Paul Griffiths. I'm chair of Pontyclun Community Council. I want to be challenging. I want to suggest that the heading you got there, "What is Metro," might be more accurately written, "What is the Central Metro?" For the Central Metro, there's a hugely exciting project, transformational, new technologies, minimum 4 trains an hour, often 12 trains an hour, brilliant. There is another metro, let's call it the peripheral metro, with a larger population, still valley areas, Ely Valley, Iwenny Valley, Llynvi Valley, towns like Creiga, like Tonrevard, Pontyclun, Llanharan, Maesteg. What's the promise there? 1 train an hour. No more. We've pressed and we've pressed for 2 trains an hour. We were promised 2 trains an hour by Arriva in 2003. It was never delivered. What is now offered for the peripheral metro is not even an empty promise. The promise is to continue with 1 train an hour. The effect of that on one of the most rapidly growing areas of Wales, population growth doubled in the last 20 years, projected, we talked about connecting with land use planning, projected to double again in the next 20 years, is to offer no increased rail service. It will squeeze the growth that we're supposed to be intending through this project. Can we please have a change of mind on the peripheral metro?
Okay, we'll take the next question then.
Thank you. Yvette Vaughan-Jones. It's very exciting to see this as part of a transformational strategy. I just wonder what the plan is for the, if it's multimodal, what the plan is to include the airport. Because if this is going to connect within Wales, surely it needs to connect out with Wales as well. Thank you.
Do you want me to try to pick the first one?
Oh.
Any of us could
answer. You go first. I'll do the first.
As a kind of an objective observer now, having a face to the expectations, which I probably helped create, maybe over expectation in some cases, and the reality delivery, I understand the question about the service to my stake and the issues of Nebervale, and I don't doubt there's a commitment to address that in the 15-year period of the franchise. But on their behalf, make no apologies that you have to deliver what you can deliver as quickly as possible and deliver the maximum benefits possible. And the core value lands was always going to be the initial next stepping stone. That's where the greatest population is. That's where the greatest demand is and greatest challenges are. I absolutely want to see these guys held to the fire on addressing the issues of connectivity to my stake and Ebervale into Newport. But I have to understand that you can't do everything in one go. And what we need to do, and this is the challenge for the region and the local authorities, all of them, how do we develop a set of requirements and priorities for future extensions of the metro that make sense economically, spatially, for housing, and also can be added to the core programme? Because actually, the region's actually going to have to find a bit of money as well to do this and work together in a way they perhaps haven't before to do that. And I would hope in the next 2 years, as these guys are getting on with the core and actually going through the very difficult challenges of detailed design, in parallel, the region can come up with a sensible and prioritised plan that deliver those extra trains. And actually the decision on what the priority is it Abertillery, is it the Vale, is it Pontyclun, is it my stake? We put that out there. Because like in Manchester and the Metrolink, that all didn't happen day one. That's been a 15-year evolution and extension of a network that started on where it could deliver the most value, the least risk. And I think that's what we've done here. Mm-hmm. And I know everyone's impatient, but let's build a plan on the basis of a solidly and successful key phase, which is the Central Metro.
If I can just build on what Mark said, just with two things. The first one, just a point of information, which I think is really important for people to realise this. The contract that we have entered into is not like a normal franchise contract at all, in a whole number of ways, partly because infrastructure is involved, partly because there's elements of a concession in there as well as a franchise. But probably for this room, the most important reason why it's different is that we've not locked ourselves into something that's going to be the same for 15 years. We've got full cost visibility. We've got a one-team approach. We can add stuff in. We can move stuff around, provided that the aggregate numbers coming out the top of the machine stack up. We can put more money in. So this is not locked down as it was with the previous franchise. And the franchise operator can't hold anyone to ransom on any particular service. So this can be changed, not at will, because that would be a waste of money, but it can be changed as political and as socio-economic requirements come in. So that's the first thing. We are not locked down with one particular service offering. The second thing is that we've always said we were going to build this out in phases. And as Mark said, the core serves the largest number of people, and it's the easiest one to do because it is technically able to use different types of services. The problem, the technical problem we have with Maesteg and Ebervale, to get that into the room as well, because Ebervale has got, I would say, an equal-sized problem, is that those services need to run along the main line. Now, we've got a new chief exec in Network Rail, Andrew Haynes, who's really keen to work collaboratively to help us solve some of those problems. But those problems will also require the application of some money, both in terms of investment in infrastructure and then potentially in early years to run the services as well. But what I would be saying is that's what people need to think in terms of future political cycles as well. So this particular phase is going to be pretty much built out by the time of the next election. People will be, I'm sure, making promises around the next election for what's going to happen in the period after that. Now, that's not saying we can't do something before this, but we really need to plan now for what is the phase beyond this current phase. Otherwise, my guess is it will run into the sand. People need to be lobbying. People need to be coming up with ideas for the future.
And James, you're talking about the need to plan ahead. Mark's response referenced the region and the need to create a vision for this future phase. The Cardiff Capital Region City deal now has a transport authority. What is the mechanism for creating the vision?
Can I just finish the first question first? That's a massive question.
Talk to Cardiff Airport.
I was going to talk to Cardiff Airport, indeed. So Cardiff Airport and indeed my stay in Embervale. If we had lots of money, we would do all those things, and we absolutely want to do those things within the 15 years. We've been very clever in the way I believe we've used the 738 million. That sounds like a lot of money, but actually the amount of stuff we're doing, we've had to be very clever about how we've used it. So the 55 bridges I mentioned reduces the cost substantially so we could spend more. We actually took the majority of the depot costs out of the 738 and put it into the franchise. So it's actually capital coming from the franchise in order to make an even bigger pot to do more with it. But we need even more money to go to Maesteg, to Ebervale, to the airport, etc. The airport's difficult. We would love to have a Roos kind of spur. It needs an expensive viaduct to do it. It's going through some particularly sensitive areas of the countryside as well. And with the best will in the world at the moment, Cardiff Airport is a limited attractor in terms of numbers. There are a lot of people who use it, yes, but the cost that would be required to build that spur at the moment don't justify it within this phase. So we will need additional money. We didn't spend it on the airport, we spent it on other things. So it really was a big menu of, we've got a £2 billion wish list, which the Cardiff Capital Region have got. We've spent 738 million, we believe in a good way, and we've now got to go through the full design and work through the risk and then build it. But we are not forgetting other crucial communities, and there are other ones beyond that. There are things in the bid that we've put in options for places like Abertillery and other places too. They're not forgotten, but there isn't currently the money on the table, but in the room we've got the collective brains to get out there and get that money together and get going on phase 3 and phase 4 and phase 5, and absolutely we are committed to that.
What a final provocation for people involved in the city deal and the local authorities. When the city deal was first being discussed around ministerial tables, one of the intentions, I certainly hoped, was any additional funding could be used to fund further bits of Metro. And I still would like to think that in the conversations about where the additional £400 million is spent, that some of that could be allocated to begin to address some of these challenges that are kind of still work to do work in progress in terms of the long-term development of Metro. So again, I think this is about the region as well taking some responsibility on determining what its priorities are and what funding it can bring to match what Welsh Government might be able to bring to the table.
More questions? Question just behind this this camera here, and question in the middle here. I think the woman here, with her hand up. And the man here in the pink, yes. Do you want to ask your question?
Should I ask first? I've got it. I'm Nicholas Webb. I'm a public relations consultant, but more relevant to this, I'm a Newport resident. There does appear to be a little bit of a Newport blind spot, and I don't want to get into a situation where we're constantly throwing other places at you and what's it going to do for there. It is a city of 150,000 people, though. It seems to be quite an oversight that it doesn't get mentioned very often in these. I support what's happening with the Metro. My concern is, though, that the difference that already exists between the economy of Cardiff and Newport could be accentuated if Newport isn't a key factor in it. And I'd be interested to know how you view Newport, whether you see it as an urban hub in its own right or a supersized town beyond Cardiff within the region.
Okay, I'll leave James and Mark to the second part of that. But I think we are doing things to Newport, so there's a second train from Ebervale which will come down to Newport, which will be in the new franchise, and will be improvements at the station as well. But the principal problem with all of these things we're talking about here, with Ebervale, Maesteg, Newport, etc., is the capacity of the main line. And there are other new stations which people would like to build, Cardiff Parkway and others at Llanwern, etc., which will also have a great case for being built, and I support both those, by the way, but they also take up more capacity on that main line. So there are going to be some difficult challenges in how we use that capacity. Do we go to Bristol, for example? Do we allow further additional trains to London on the Great Western Main Line? What do we do with that? Do we do some of the ideas Mark's had around Swansea Metro, and that might even take up more capacity on the main line as well. So there are some big, big challenges and questions which we're going to have to all work together and try not to just say what's best for our little bit of the area and try try and look wider across this whole capital region and make the best for all. And sometimes that's going to be a no to certain projects and a yes to other projects where they conflict.
Can I just add in? Well, I've been working and keen on the Newport dimension for the last 10 years. Early on, I helped on the case for running services from Ebervale into Newport, and I think the role of Newport is vital for the region. But again, we go back to the point we're starting where it's easiest to deliver most benefits. The challenge for the region is to do more. And I think with the introduction of tram train technology, with the maturity of Transport for Wales as it gets into this franchise and starts delivering benefits, we can do more. I'd also point out, anyone in the room, that there's also asking for UK government responsibility from the work I've been doing over the summer. There's a massive issue of underinvestment in our rail infrastructure, not just over decades, you know, going back a very long time. And there's a role for UK government to actually take some responsibility, I think, for further capital funding to support this programme. You know, if we want to balance the UK economy post whatever Brexit turns into, they can't just be saying a nice warm words about powerhouses. We've got to actually invest in our infrastructure. And actually, addressing connectivity between Newport and its hinterland is vitally important for the region. Much as I, you know, support the core, I want to see that sorted out as well. But again, it's timing and funding and prioritisation.
Can I just touch very briefly on the Newport question? So it's one of the things that I'm being challenged on, rightly, regularly, by AMs from that area. And it's also clearly a city of importance in and of its own right, and actually is doing, in some ways, is doing quite well at the minute. If you look at the kind of donut that surrounds Newport, is doing really well. It's the city centre that seems to be struggling more than what's around it. Now, I think bus that really works has got a big part to play in terms of getting people into the centre of Newport and linking people in with the rail station and bus rapid transit. Now, Welsh Government is currently looking at pulling together a white paper to go out shortly, which is exploring how we could get much better value for money and much better integration between railway and bus, not just in terms of ticketing, but also in terms of the routes that are run, plus demand responsive. So I think we shouldn't be completely focused just on rail. And Newport is an area that, yes, tram train will be important. I think bus rapid transit will be important. But I think getting bus and demand responsive transport working as part of an integrated metro system will be really important. We're not remitted on that yet, but I think we will be shortly. And actually, once you get into the bus space, it sort of makes the challenges we've got on rail look quite small institutionally in terms of what you need to achieve.
Thank you. You've got the mic?
Is it on?
Yes.
Yes, hi, I'm Liz Mills, with an eye to European good practice. So three questions. Firstly, about the energy sources for the metro, where's the electricity coming from? Is there some sort of similar process going on to on the energy management side to link into the metro? And secondly, what percentage of the funding is coming from existing EU sources? I gather last week there was an announcement, so great to hear that some's being got from the EU funds. And thirdly, about the ticketing arrangements, is there a plan to have some kind of all Wales chip card usable on all the modes? And here, just an example from the Netherlands, already nearly all electrified, mostly powered by wind, and for years there has been a national chip card which you can load up like an Oyster card and use on all modes, including taxis. So are we going to have something like that for Wales?
We're going to have something even better. So the first thing is that for the core valley lines, 100% of that electricity is from renewable sources, 100%, and 50% of those renewables are from Wales. We would like that to be even higher, but currently the market can't offer us any more than that. But as extra wind and solar, etc., comes on board, we may be able to extend that further. The same is true of stations and depots, so 100% renewable there as well. On ticketing, for the extent of the South Wales Metro, all the way out to, you know, kind of Cheltenham at one side, and as well as, you know, Abergavenny and all areas like that, we will have a validators, so smart cards basically, which will allow you to travel as you wish around that area, and hopefully on bus and other modes as well, and next bikes, etc. And that will have some clever stuff in the back office, which no one here needs to worry about. It will calculate the best fare for you between the points that you tap in and tap out, and do all the clever maths in the background, and just charge you the lowest fare that you should have paid. So a little bit like Oyster in London, it will just work. It will take some time to put in. This is, you know, a couple of years ahead of us, but this will make a phenomenal difference. It will be like taking your car keys out of your pocket. You just have your card and you can travel anywhere and not need to worry about working out which fare and is it off-peak and is it peak and all the rest of it. And equally, smart cards are actually relatively dumb, in my opinion, because you can't see what's on them. So actually, this is far more about apps on mobile phones and using NFC and other technologies, etc., rather than necessarily giving people a card. And for the rest of Wales, because putting validators on every station in every part of Wales is, in our opinion, unnecessary, we'll be going far more down a barcode route, which will in time become an NFC app on a phone once Apple lets us do it. It's possible on Android, but not on Apple at the minute.
Oh, and then, so European funding was the other question.
Yes.
The amount of European funding in this stage of the core project is actually, I guess, relatively little, but it's 120 million-ish out of the 738. Now, in the past, European funding has also been used to subsidise operation of some of the Valleys lines. So where services were stepped up, some European money has been used to pay for the annualised operating cost of doing that. Most of that has disappeared, and obviously in the future that will have disappeared as well. So we're looking at 120 out of the 738 is European funded. So we're not worried about any more. That's been agreed and been locked down.
One more question. Let's two more questions. The lady here, and wait for the mic to come, and in the back there in the corner.
Thank you. Just a question regarding, have the panel learned anything regarding the PR disaster that happened with Northern Rail changing all the timetables? And what do you plan to do to not that not to happen here?
Yeah, I think that's it's a complicated question and one which I could go into a lot of detail on. We are, and I won't, but for the sake of everyone's sanity, but there are an awful lot of things which went wrong at Northern, and there are lots of reasons for that. The critical things which relate to us, we will do our best to avoid, but we do have to make some very, very substantial timetable changes. We have to, at one point in 1 year, change every time of every train throughout all of Wales. So be aware, these kind of projects do not come without breaking eggs to make omelettes. And there will be times when we will all need to pull together and explain the journey we're on and the bigger picture that we're going to get to. And some of this stuff will be difficult. And it will mean disruption and it will mean changes, which will need clear communication and us all to pull together when things don't go quite as we want. But hopefully they will not go so spectacularly wrong as they did at Northern.
So from my perspective, the biggest lesson learned would be not to allow anyone, I just hope there's no one in the room that was involved in this, but not to allow anyone to engage in willful blindness. So I think most people thought something like that was going to happen, but equally most people thought it wasn't their fault, so they weren't that bothered. And we need to not be running a system which allows, I don't know, Colin's team to say, well, this is going to be Network Rail's fault, so we don't need to worry about that. Or Network Rail to say, this is going to be Colin's fault, so we won't worry about that. And in fact, we are already, this one-team approach is happening, is locked in, and that's what we absolutely have to have. So I think if we're honest with each other and if we can call out constructively potential faults in each other's plans, then we will not have that level of problems, but we will have some problems, clearly.
I think there's a mic in the back there, isn't there?
Is that on, is it? Hi, Gary Thompson, Enterprise M3, Local Enterprise Partnership. Just a question is just in relation to, we've got a number of opportunities coming out of Welsh Government. One is Tech Valleys, and there's also the talk of a rail testbed around Neath. I'm just wondering if, as part of this process, we're looking at any opportunities to help to unlock them, for example, digital infrastructure. And, you know, the UK itself is actually quite badly served with fibre, about 3.7%. whereas other countries are up at 90%. So, you know, while we're doing this build, there's obviously an opportunity to do something there. I mean, I'm doing something similar at the moment around the connected region down in the Enterprise M3 corridor. So that's to be honest with you, that's a question at different levels to all the three members of the panel.
So if I start at a high level then, aggregate level, we're really interested in all of that stuff. And just maybe there'll be some announcements on some of that in the near future. But there are equally some challenges around this. So there's something called the FTN network, which for the life of me, I cannot remember what it stands for. Fibre to Fixed Technology Network, is it? Or Fibre Technology Network? Something like that. It's the fibre that runs alongside the track. So we are still engaging in discussions with Network Rail as to who will be able to own and who will be able to exploit that. And that will be a key, I think, element in how easy it is to do something with technology that is a game changer, certainly for the metro area. But we've made some progress. There will be some announcements over the next few months, I would expect. But Colin.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, we looked at fibre up the valleys, and actually it's quite good already in many areas of the valleys. There are some areas that are not, but actually there's some pretty good fibre out there already. So there wasn't much of a business case to extend it beyond that. So the knot spots that I mentioned and the additional mast, 4 and hopefully 5G in time, will mostly go into rural Wales, not necessarily into the valleys.
We need to finish. There's a lot more discussion ahead. Before we finish, I want to ask the three of you whether you feel there is an essential decision. Can you pick out a decision that needs to be taken within the next 12 to 18 months that will strengthen the chances for really transformational positive change and successful delivery of the metro? Mark.
I think for me the key thing that is planned to happen and needs to happen is the transfer of the Network Rail asset as part of the Core Valleys Metro. That gives transport an ability to be the steward and custodian of that asset, to manage that in new and more efficient ways potentially, and work much more closely with the operator to deliver the kind of tram, train, light rail service that actually we need in that part of the network. But that conversation and that work, I have under no illusion of how complicated that is, and there are different views on what the asset is, its condition, is it an asset or is it a liability? And some would argue the latter in some cases. That is fundamental, and that's probably the biggest challenge James has got, aside from taking on the operational responsibilities in Week and a Half's time, is actually the development of a process that can see the asset transfer effectively and successfully.
So, I was going to say asset transfer, interestingly. But if I sort of took a step back from that, I'd then say joined up land use planning.
Okay.
And if you push me again, I'd say bus. Mm-hmm. How brave do we want to be on bus? How brave is the remit that's given to us going to be on bus? But for the people in the room, I think the land use planning piece. Hold us to account on asset transfer. It is really important. If we don't deliver that, I think it's going to be... We'll deliver something, but we won't be able to deliver everything that we've talked about. But land use planning, really, really important.
So from my point of view, the most critical thing is building the depot, because that's the first thing that needs to be in place so that we can deliver the trains, so we can test them, so we can roll out the electrification, etc. So actually clearing that site and getting in there and starting to build a depot is super important. Clearly the asset transfer, that's been mentioned. And then the other thing I would say is that finding a way to all come together so that the incredible investment we have got can be match funded, increased, improved, added to by local authorities, by hospitals, by schools, by other people who are close to this network, so we make the best of this phenomenal opportunity. Because 738 million is a lot of money, but actually it could be more than a billion if we all got together and we talked and we worked it out and we made this better for everyone. And this is something which, in 5 years' time, I hope we can all in this room look back at and be incredibly proud of. And the train is only one tiny part of that. This is about building new communities and improved communities and economic development, which I passionately believe in. And I know most of the people in the room, or all the people in the room, hopefully, agree with too. So let's do this.
Let's do this, and let's all go out and communicate what we've learned in this session to people who aren't so sure what the Metro is. Thank you.